When the poor won't be quiet, when they just won't chill. The disciples have been talking theology. They have been arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They have listened to Jesus describe His mission before them. And they have been talking about churchy things. Their minds are occupied with cosmic ideas and big issues when they walk into the town of Jerusalem. And they are not prepared for what happens there. You see, Bartimaeus, the beggar, just won't shut up. He won't be quiet. He won't leave them alone. He just will not calm down. He keeps shouting out to Jesus, demanding attention. He's very distracting, to say the least. You see, you and I know how beggars are and how they should act, don't we? Most have learned to be quiet. We see them a lot during our week. To hold a cardboard sign with a scrawled message on it. A simple smile or say, "God bless you," when someone stops to give them money. The aggressive ones scare us a little bit. Some are kind of sly and cunning. They want something. They know what they're going to get. And they'll tell you real quick, "I need 68 cents to buy me a cup of coffee." One asks, having learned that nobody will stop it long enough to count out change, but guess what? Somebody will hand them a dollar bill, sometimes even five. Sure, we know some people are legitimately poor in our world. We got a lot of them. But others are just not too good on working, and others of them are a little shiftless. They've learned how to do things, and they are the ones that kind of make us uncomfortable. We are not poor on them. We who are not poor are very suspicious. Even worse are the poor who are uppity about their poverty, who demand attention and time as they are entitled to it. They want us to know who they are. You see, the world could tolerate the poor if they would just be a little quieter. So it's no surprise today that the crowd tells Bartimaeus to hush. The people following Jesus are too busy to listen to His complaints. But Bartimaeus, the beggar, just won't hush. He won't be quiet. Bartimaeus keeps demanding attention. Jesus stops what He's doing. He halts His whole procession there. I can imagine the people in front of Him that were a few paces, they just moving right along, and all of a sudden they realize, when they turn around, what happened to Him? Where'd He go? Everybody stopped. The whole crowd halts as Jesus refuses to budge. And they say, "Why are we stopping?" And Jesus says to him in verse 49, "Call him here. Call him to me." In other words, let him come to me. Jesus does not shout back to the beggar and summons him. Instead, Jesus gives His command to the people around Him. The same people who have been shushing Him and scrowling now turn, somewhat sheepishly. Don't you know they're a bit embarrassed maybe? They have to come back to Bartimaeus. They try to look nonchalant, even gallant maybe, as they say, "Take heart, get up, He's calling you." The rest of verse 49. We hear the silent rebuke in Jesus' command. He bids His followers to welcome beggars. And in His words, we can't help but hear other things. Jesus has said about the poor in the past, "I was hungry and you fed me. As you have done to the least of these, you have done to me." We can go back a few weeks ago to Matthew's Gospel in the 25th chapter and find out all about that. So Jesus' followers have to stop their journey because their Savior will not budge until they pay attention to the beggar. Jesus will not allow the church to move forward until it hears the voice of the poor. Stop just a moment and listen to Jesus talk with Bartimaeus. Let the strangeness of this scene settle on you. Let's think about what it would look like. He stopped the whole procession. Why does Jesus ask what Bartimaeus wants? Isn't it obvious to everyone there? He's a beggar. My goodness. He wants money. He, to them that day, was a useless member of society. He was unable to work or to be effective in any kind of employment. He wanted a handout. But Jesus does not assume any of that. He does not assume what Bartimaeus wants. He asks. Many Christians and Christian organizations don't ever actually listen to the poor. In their zeal to set up a new ministry and do good, they start handing out food or running financial management classes without even asking. What do you want me to do for you? One missionary group decided to address the fact that millions of women and children die every year from inhaling the smoke of their cook fires in another country. They took it upon themselves to set up villages in developing countries that modern wood-burning stoves and stovepipes. Just doing something that you and I take for granted every day, ventilation. To know that they had something that would help them. But they found that the families would remove, guess what? They would remove the stovepipes and sell them for scrap metal because they were so poor. Anyone who works to alleviate poverty in this world that we know of knows hundreds of examples of what happens when well-intentioned people fail to listen to those that they are supposed to be helping. We try sometimes to put a Band-Aid on it. We try sometimes to do what we think would be best. But we don't listen to what they need, and we don't listen to the extreme poverty that they are in. You see, Jesus knows better than to assume. He treats Bartimaeus as a human being, just like he is. Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wants. And in verse 41, he says, "Let me see again." "Let me see again," Bartimaeus says in verse 41. "Restore my sight." Sometimes when churches make the effort to listen to the poor, they hear surprising things. "We need public transportation, a way to get to the grocery store. I need daycare for my child so I can finish my degree. I need some kind of low-interest loan so I can get back on my feet." These are not requests for handouts. They are requests for empowerment, to move forward, to grow stronger. As Bartimaeus talks with Jesus, perhaps the listening crowd begins to recognize their own blindness. You see, Bartimaeus is physically blind. He cannot see. And his disability has kept him poor because the only thing he can do is sit at the gate by the roadside and beg. But the crowd has been blind to Bartimaeus because they have been blind spiritually to the poor around them. They could not see him nor hear him, or at least pretend they could not. So many times we look the other way. So many times we don't like to watch commercials that have the poor children on them. We don't like to see the pictures that come at us. We don't like to look at people in the eye. We like to turn and go the other way. So when Jesus works His miracle on Bartimaeus, it is also a miracle for the crowd around Him. It is a miracle for His disciples. Not only does Jesus give Bartimaeus the power to live a new life, He gives the crowd new eyes and new life as well. You see, when the crowd finally begins to move again, there is a new disciple among them because Bartimaeus chooses to follow Jesus that day. He becomes one of them. And when Jesus tells him to go, Bartimaeus takes the command not only as an order to go away, but as freedom to take charge of his new life. He has hope again. He has a way to make a living for himself. He has a way. He has choices. And he chooses to join the crowd and follow Jesus. He chooses to be one of the disciples. In this brief passage today, we see a snapshot of potential salvation for the church. We began with the disciples arguing about who is the greatest among them. But now they have welcomed into their ranks one of the least, one of the last, and one of the lost. A beggar who has nothing to give but the joy of his new sight and the story of his healing. He's got a great testimony of what God has done in his life. What would it be like if the church stopped to listen to the poor? What if it welcomed the poor as fellow disciples and empowered them to follow Jesus? instead of treating them as a problem that needs to be solved. One thing is for sure, the church can't move forward without Jesus until it stops and listens. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your new disciple, Bartimaeus. We thank You, Lord, for the gifts that he had by his not being quiet, by him just saying, Lord, I need Your help. I need You to listen. I need the people to stop and listen to me. I need someone to take heart. I need someone just to talk with me. Not to talk at me, but to talk with me and to me. So many times, Lord, we, as good-meaning folks, try to do all that we know how to do. And sometimes it is but a Band-Aid. Sometimes it's just a very small something. Sometimes it just appeases the situation for a moment, but the problem is still there. Lord, teach us what it is You would have us do, not only as individuals, but as a church body, to be able to continue to be the church to the world around us and to each other, to continue, Lord, to stand up and to stand out for those who are less fortunate than we. Lord, we are rich in so many things, but sometimes we are spiritually poor when it comes to seeing the needs of those around us. So, Lord, teach us what it is You would have us do, not only this day, but in the days to come. Be with us now, for it is in Your name I pray. Amen.